Greetings, you're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C like in Charles, E like in Erna, P like in Paul, H as in Hunt, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following: Matrix is something like a mold or a womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix. The listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and, seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, intolerance, and climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him, summarized.
in special circumstances, even leading it, as she's doing today in the great movement for peace and disarmament in the world and the ecumenical movement. This is one of her last assaults. She let out in the charismatic movement secretly, and in time, as it passed the borders of the Catholic Church, and Protestants saw that now the Catholic Church was speaking in tongues. These are Catholic priests. Catholics and Protestants together in great revival meetings will be speaking in tongues together. Some of these folks will be speaking in rosaries while the others beside them are speaking in tongues. It seems to adapt itself to every religious climate today. Spiritualism has joined Christianity. It was this pope, the next pope to take office, Paul VI, that took over the world in a great movement of ecumenism. He finished up the work of the Vatican II. Here he is uniting himself with the Greek Orthodox Church. And we find that today, because of the great ecumenical movement that was begun and is sponsored by the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestants are paralyzed. They no longer speak out against Rome. This man here is Walter Martin, Dr. Walter Martin. Supposedly, he's a great man in the evangelical circles. He accuses the Seventh-day Adventist Church of being a cult because they claim Ellen White is a pope, or they take Ellen White, he says, as a pope. And yet, he will not call the Catholic Church a cult. He says she's a Christian church today. What is happening to the Protestant world? It was the Catholic Church that opened up her doors and invited the communist heads of state in. Here's President Tito from Yugoslavia in meeting with the Pope at the Vatican. Pope Paul VI became the communist pope, the pope of the proletariat, mingling among the workers in the various areas of the world. They even devised an entirely new image of Jesus for the populaces now in the Marxist Catholic system. Jesus was depicted as a white-collar worker, and posters were put in the factories of the third world countries. In other places, Jesus was depicted as having overalls or with tools in his hands. Christ was now that God that many years before Adam Weishaupt had pointed out that he was. In 1973, this magazine came out on the Jesuits. Here it made it appear that the Jesuit order was in search of a new identity, that they didn't know what they wanted to do, that they were in a state of flux. It shows the Jesuit priests as common, everyday, dressed people. But still, it showed that Jesuits are involved in the various activities of missionary endeavors all over the world. Some, like Nixon aide McLaughlin, are in politics. Movie actor O'Malley, and here a congressman, Drennan, at the Capitol. This is a Jesuit priest named Dan Lyons, and a book by John D. McCullum. Here it pointed out that Dan Lyons was an expert on Asiatic affairs and counseled Richard Nixon. It was his counsel to bomb Cambodia that Richard Nixon followed. Here he is with Commander Abrams, working in Vietnam. How far have these men gone? What secret mechanisms are even being worked out still today in politics, in religion, and all over the world? They make us feel like they're looking for a new identity. But friends, they know exactly what they're doing in the great world revolution that's taking place today. This man, the head of the FBI, made it very clear that the communists are deliberately maneuvering among the Negroes to create a situation for outbreak of racial violence to such an extent that it can be turned into a civil war on a racial basis. In such a civil war, should they succeed in fomenting it, the communists hope to so undermine the American government and our social structure that they can take over power. In the racial civil war that they envisage, they are sure the Negroes will be in the front ranks, the shock troops of the communist revolution. This is quoted from a congressional record, August 7, 1963. Brethren, the spirit of prophecy tells us, and I don't have the quote or the source of the quote now, it's in the White Estates, but that again, there'll be a racial movement, the army will be called out to put it down, and men will go back into servitude. And the result of it will be a Sunday law. Friends, we're seeing a fulfillment of the Spirit of Prophecy's prophecy taking place today. In this book, The Negroes in the Soviet America, written by a communist, published in the South, encouraged the Negro people to rise up and form their own country in the South. And that under communism, they would be exalted to a much higher position in society. This is a communist class that was held in the South. And as you notice on the far right-hand corner, you see that? Is Martin Luther King, a communist, being trained to carry on this revolution. And I want you to know right now still that the revolution, communist revolution, the spearhead of it, is the Jesuits in the Roman Catholic Church. I'll prove that to you in a minute. Here he is with known card-holding communists from the conspiracy that took place in Hollywood. Beside him, Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte. Violence is being planned today, brethren. I was down in at the flea market, down in the city, and there a man came up to the table. He heard me talking about prophecy with someone else, and he said, "Would you tell me something?" He said, "Would you please tell me why the black folks down here in the city are hoarding automatic weapons? Just down the street from me, I saw a van pull up and they unloaded boxes of automatic weapons into a garage. What is happening? What are they planning?" Brethren, I don't know how long until the cities are a hotbed of violence because of these type of plans, but it's coming. And Ellen White tells us that it's going to be an overwhelming persecution, relentless in its fury. The Catholic Church is involved in this ethnic action publicly. In Africa, she is making the black prelates the only prelates there. So the church will relate to a black church at that point. This gentleman, Pope John Paul I, was in for only 33 days. The reason for this gentleman coming in for only 33 days is that he was the choice of the communist influence. The church had become fearful that Moscow would dominate the church, that she would take over it. Prelates began to move. They worked with the CIA. Cardinal Wyszynski from Poland was summoned to this secret meeting, and they decided to plan to get Wojtyla in. Wojtyla had already been deeply involved in the Vatican II project. He was an extremely intelligent man, and he was trained in the field of acting and playwriting. He was the perfect man for the job. He was a Marxist, but he was an anti-Moscow Marxist, and he would be perfect for developing the new brand of Lenin Christianity that they believed was the new age in this world. John Paul in the liberal magazines in this country, which we know are controlled by the elements that are involved in world conspiracy, set him up as a superstar. 14,000 journalists were accredited to cover his passage through this country. Millions and millions of dollars have been used to place this man in a campaign as a god among the nations today. And the Protestants, where are they? They're completely paralyzed. Protestants for the Pope. We see that a Protestant Baptist president invited the Pope to do the mass on the White House lawns. He was invited before the United Nations. Here he is with Kurt Waldheim, the secretary at that time.